This is an extract from the Nature podcast. For the full show, head to nature.com/nature/podcast.
Time for a dip into the file labelled questions a five-year-old would ask. This time the question is, how are clouds made? The basics are already nailed. Water droplets start to gather around tiny aerosol particles, anything small enough to be floating through the air. Enough of that happens and you get a cloud. But physicists want to know where the aerosol particles come from. And it's an important question for climate scientists too, who find clouds hard to model but know they can have important effects on global warming. Scientists thought that man-made emissions, particularly sulfur dioxide, were key to the formation of aerosols and therefore increased the amount of clouds. But a set of new papers question whether sulfur dioxide is really the only player. They find a much more natural process might be conjuring up clouds. Jasper Kirkby has been creating clouds in a special chamber at CERN. Davide Castelvecchi called him to learn more.
If you were to go up into a cloud and pick out a droplet, first of all, it would be very small. But if you evaporated it, you'd find that there was a little seed inside, and that's known as a cloud condensation nucleus. It's a small suspended liquid or solid particle in the air, and all air on Earth has hundreds, if not thousands, of these in every cubic centimetre. But without them, there would be no clouds in the sky.
How do you go about studying clouds in the lab?
What we have at CERN is we've built the cloud chamber. It's a large stainless steel chamber, ultra clean, and it's filled with humidified air and selected trace gases, which exactly reproduce the conditions and temperature of a chosen part of the atmosphere.
So water by itself does not just turn into a cloud, and use it out to understand what kind of gases in the atmosphere can form these seeds, these microscopic particles that then water condensates around.
We've essentially been assembling the list of the key vapors that are responsible for particle formation in the atmosphere. What was previously known is that sulfuric acid was key. Sulfuric acid arises from oxidation of sulfur dioxide, and 80 or 90% of the sulfur dioxide in turn in the atmosphere is being produced by burning fossil fuels. So up to now, it's been thought that human activities and human pollution was essential to form aerosol particles in the atmosphere. But we found it was not sufficient and that it needs a helper. It needs other vapors to help these particles form. And we've been finding out what those vapors are.
Now, sulfuric acid would never be the only deciding factor in whether clouds form or not, because other things can lead to clouds forming, like dust in the air. So was the thinking that if humans were not around, and if in particular, if our industrial emissions were not here, then clouds would not exist?
Pre-industrially, before human activities altered the climate and added pollution, it's thought that there was much less cloudiness than there is today. But the amount is not well known. The only way we can understand how cloudy it was in the pre-industrial atmosphere is to measure the basic physical and chemical processes and then put those into global aerosol models.
So then here's where your experiment comes in. You kind of recreated conditions that were similar to what would happen in the atmosphere above, say, for example, a forest, correct?
That's correct. What we did was a series of experiments where we only put into the chamber ultra-pure air, water vapor, ozone, and some so-called biogenic vapors. These are vapors emitted by trees. And in this case, it's something called alpha-pinene, which, even though the name may sound unfamiliar, it gives pine forests that beautiful smell when you walk through a pine forest. And that's all we put into the chamber. And we then watched what happens. And according to present wisdom, we shouldn't have had any particles form, but we found abundant particles form. In other words, the discovery was that these so-called biogenic vapors, after oxidation by exposure to this ozone, they form vapors which can then form particles very readily, and they don't need any pollution.
So does that mean, in a sense, that forests are creating their own climate?
It does, actually.
And they do that because then they get rain.
It's certainly interesting to speculate, and it's important to realize, of course, this is speculation. We can't prove it. But it's metabolically very expensive for trees to make these vapors. They haven't evolved to produce these vapors to make it pleasant to go on hikes through forests. There must be a deeper reason than that. And I think it takes very little imagination to say that they are protecting themselves. Trees can't run for shade when there's a lot of sun. But what they can do is emit vapors and become seeds for cloud droplets. Now, they'll spread over a much bigger area, so trees are actually not directly helping themselves now. They're helping their neighbors, even 100 kilometers away. But trees are definitely affecting the biosphere. It's a beautiful mechanism for trees to control their environment.
Is this good news for the climate or bad news?
That depends on your perspective. Aerosols and clouds are accepted by the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change as the largest source of uncertainty in the current climate change. The new cloud findings are going to ultimately lead to a reduction in the so-called climate sensitivity, and that in turn will lead to a somewhat of a reduction, it'll point in the direction of less warming. Now, it's important to state that there will be other uncertainties in aerosol and clouds that may go in the opposite direction. But at least from the point of view of the new cloud result, this is going to lead to a small reduction of the projected warmings.
That was Jasper Kirkby of the CERN Cloud Chamber. By the way, in their name, CLOUD is actually an acronym. It stands for Cosmic Leaving Outdoor Droplets. Yeah, me neither. You can find the two papers from the CERN group at nature.com/nature, and there's another paper in Science this week on the same topic, so look out for that, cloud fans.